It is Monday, and I'm bringing you a brand new episode of Crystal Ball Clarity of It All. Now, my guest this week has spent over 10 years as a professional actor and voiceover artist in New York City. Yes, New York City. Now, as the host and producer of the Mamas in Training podcast, she supports pregnant women and aspiring moms on their journey into motherhood. Welcome, Jessica, to Crystal Ball, Clarity of It All. I'm so glad to finally have you on.
Ah, same. You truly light me up. This has been a joy to the start of my week on a Monday too. So it's such a pleasure to speak with you, and you make me laugh. So I'm so happy to be here.
that literally warms my heart. You know, I always try to make really good connections, and with this new kind of living, here we are. I always start out telling people, you know, Clubhouse has been pretty much my way of meeting a lot of people in this virtual world. So obviously, as fellow podcasters and women in podcasting, we have united. And Jessica, I know that you have so many things in your life going on. And even to take us back.
Basically, before I start, I just wanted to say that my fertility, or I don't want to call it an infertility journey yet, because I've unfortunately not even been able to try to conceive yet. It's not allowed. If I were to conceive at this moment, I would have to get an abortion because the medication that I'm on is just far too dangerous for a fetus. So I always like to tell people that, because anyone who's listening, I have not gone through the struggle of either miscarrying or trying for a certain amount of time. So I don't understand. While I can totally sympathize with that, and actually on my podcast, the woman who was my guest this week, just released last Wednesday, her episode is all about infertility. So I can, you know, commiserate with it, but I don't have experience in that. My fertility, or quote unquote infertility journey, is postponed in a different type of a way. But yeah, so it started about 10 years ago when I was 25, and the psoriasis that I had mentioned just sort of started in small little spots around my body. I actually thought it was bed bugs. I kind of wish I had bed bugs now.
Right. Is it just itching, or is it just patches?
For me, it started off as just small little red dots, kind of like they were red patchy sort of dots, just a couple here and there. And then I would get a few more, and then some would go away, and I'd get a few more. And anyway, after some testing and biopsies that they did, they discovered that it was psoriasis, and I was given an ointment that I had to put on. It was a steroidal ointment, and I would put that on and they would mostly be managed, but it exacerbated over the period of about a year, I would say, to the point that I was taking this steroidal ointment that thins your skin. So it's pretty dangerous to be using in large quantities, and you're not supposed to use it very frequently. And I was literally putting it on like a body butter, like a lotion. I was completely just lathering from head to, minus my face, I had a couple little spots on my face, but head to toe, just lathering with this stuff. And it got to the point that I spoke to my dermatologist, and I said, you know, this is what I'm doing, and I don't really think that this is normal or safe. And they were like, nope, it's not. So they ended up putting me on a biological medication, which was an injectable medication, and that had its own challenges. And at the time, I was, as an actor, I was traveling with the National Tour of Beauty and the Beast. I was on the road for 2 years. So that was a challenge too, because I had to carry around this injectable medication that had to stay frozen. And when we were on the bus or flying or whatever, and every hotel, I had to get a refrigerator to keep it cold. And it was that, you know, that had its own thing with it. And so I started doing the injections, and my skin did slowly start to get a little bit better, although it had been so impacted that I still had, it almost looked like scarring kind of. However, a year to the day, basically, after starting that biological medication, I ended up getting pain in my ankles and feet And I thought it was from some sandals that I had recently bought. This was when I was in LA at the time. And I have had never up to this point, this was about a year or year and a half or so being on the road. And I had never called out of a show, meaning but not been able to perform during a show. And I physically, I couldn't walk. And I thought, I have to absolutely call out. And the pain ended up getting worse and worse. My husband, boyfriend at the time, was visiting me, and he had to carry me to the bathroom because I just couldn't walk. I was in so much pain. The tour ended up ending, and I ended up moving home for about 4 to 6 months because I just couldn't live in New York City. And when I did come to visit him, I had to buy a cane. So like at 25, 26 years old, having to buy a cane, it was totally shitty. But yeah, anyway, I ended up after that going off of the biological medication that I was on and getting put on this really serious medication that I'm on now, which I'm happy to say, I mean, I've had, knock on wood, not too much. I've had a little bit just as of late, but not too much pain, so to speak. But, and just really for my skin, just a couple little small spots here and there, but nothing at all, even close to what I had. However, the sort of other side to the coin with that is that I can't start a family. And so now I'm at 35, my husband's 41, and you know, we're a little delayed. So the journey that I've been on for the past year and a half now has been trying to clean up my diet, get myself to a nice, healthy place so that I can, you know, as I wean off this medication, hopefully my body doesn't flare up and get infected again, or I should say affected again, because it was an infection. And then I'll be able to hopefully, you know, try to start my motherhood journey, but it's tricky and it's a lot of unknowns. I don't know if all of a sudden I'm going to go off of it and not have pain again. And I don't even know how long my actual journey to trying to conceive will be, you know. And they all tell me, oh, well, once you actually become pregnant, sometimes, you know, with hormones changing, people's arthritis or psoriasis just completely goes away. I'm like, well, that's great, but I need to get to that point. So.
Right, exactly. When did they really tell you, like when they put you on this prescription, they said, hey, you cannot have a kid whatsoever? Or did it take time, you going to the doctors and finding out?
No, I knew right away. I pretty much knew right when I went on it that there was a risk, because there's also it's also used for certain type of cancer. It's so they really warned me about all the different elements that could come from it. So I knew it going into it, but at the time I was, you know, 27. My husband and I were very clear that we wanted to really focus on our careers before we started a family at that moment. And actually we weren't even married at that point, but we've been together for a really long time. So it wasn't a problem for me. I just knew that this path would come, and now I'm in the middle of it. But you know, I'm happy to say at this point I'm down to the lowest that I possibly can be with my medication. So I'm doing something right with my diet and maintaining my stress. So yeah, the next few months will be pretty telling. But yeah, well, that's the long and short of it.
That's huge strides though, with any sort of type of medication. And especially there can be fear, right? With what's to come, what if I don't have it, you know, all the what ifs and stuff like that. Now you said that you've been using some sort of diet that helps you. What has worked for you?
Yeah. So I started off, so I'm a very plan. I need an organization. I need steps. So I couldn't just say that I was going to jump into like doing whatever. So I got this book, The Autoimmune Solution. It's by Dr. Amy Myers. Highly recommend it for anyone with any sort of autoimmune disease or challenge that they're going through. And it really walks you through step by step. It starts off with a 30-day elimination. It's not easy, but the one thing that I always preach about too is if you have a why for whatever you're doing, it's so much easier. So getting rid of a lot of things when you first start the elimination diet, but you know, it's easy not to drink that or I was going to say drink that cup of milk, but I never do that anyway. But it's easier not to have that like Ben and Jerry's or eat that pastry because I want a baby, you know? So that's my why. And that's my clarity. If I didn't have a reason for it, then it wouldn't be as easy to just say, and granted, I should also say it's not easy, but, having the why makes it easier. So anyway, you start off with a 30-day elimination, and then there's a very set process with how you bring things back in and reintroduce as a testing period. And that can be as long as you want it to be according to how many foods you want to reintroduce. But after you reintroduce, say you're going to reintroduce nightshades, you know, tomatoes and eggplants, for example, you reintroduce that for a few days. And then you stop and you don't go back. Even if you don't notice any sort of reaction or change, you don't go back to it until you're done with every single group or point. And then when you're completely done, you get to the list of like, okay, what things did I not find affected me? And then you kind of end up on this quote unquote diet, or I like to say way of eating, way of life, with what you know works for you. And that's kind of where I've been at for the past like year and a half. And I noticed direct changes. It's really crazy. So it's all about, you know, cleaning up your gut, but that's what worked for me.
Yes. So many different healing the gut. I actually just started learning about that probably about 3 months in. And then I've started doing intuitive eating, which to me, a lot of listening, I've eliminated, especially dairy. I wasn't to drink milk to begin with. Obviously, I love cheese, but you really have to figure out what works for your body and what doesn't. Yeah. And I think how you said it, it's like a way of life, and also knowing your why when you're changing your lifestyle. I think those are really good tips. So anyone taking notes, please write those down.
Well, and the other thing, that I just want to point on that too is for whatever reason, people tend to come at you if you're doing something good and positive, no matter what that is. I think it ends up stemming from like a jealousy standpoint or a standpoint of like, man, I wish I could do that, but I can't. But the way it comes out is like, why are you doing that? Why would you do that? You're going to pack your lunches and bring them to work. There's food here. Why don't you just eat this? You know, that you'll start to get all of these questions, and not just around food, whether it's physical exercise, whether it's a hobby you're picking up, like whatever it is, time management, whatever, you're going to get pushback. But I think if you have that why, you set up that why and you communicate it, oftentimes it'll end up stopping people in their tracks a little bit, you know, because if someone were to ask me a question, I'd be like, well, you know, I want to start a family and that's not possible for me right now. So these are the steps that I'm taking. And I'm going, oh, okay. Gotcha. Like, wish I had that strength. Yeah.
Exactly. I started to tell people, I mean, outside of like, you know, having a way of life, I've just been saying, I don't talk about it. Like, I don't want to focus on all the things that I can't have, because it just has that like diet culture, like winning factor to it. And I want to think about all the things I can have and enjoy and not feel hungry in that moment, or debate people. But I often say, and especially since you are, you know, a public figure, like a lot of people that in those comments, because of it's the rejection factor, they're like, oh, you're doing something like this. And it's, they've obviously felt rejection from some sort of eating, which I mean, most of us have like some sort of eating thing going on, but it's truly eye-opening when people try to go there. And it's, I'm like, you don't need to get to know me because of I eat apples and oranges or cake on the weekends. Like, you can actually get to know me through my hobbies and things that inspire me. Because, you know, a question that, especially you've been with your husband for a long time, I'm sure that a question you get a lot is, when are you going to have kids?
Oh yeah.
And it's like, what time clock are you sticking to your own time clock? Everyone else. But it's something that me and my husband consistently get. And then I've had a little bit of pushback of saying, hey, like we can ask each other like questions to get to know one another, but it doesn't have to be around, you know, like my ovaries and when I'm going to have kids and stuff like that.
Right.
Like, ask me if I paint or sew or some, I don't know. There's so many other things.
Yeah. And I've even sort of been trying to police myself with those questions, because it does tend to be something that we just kind of go toward. And it's never intended, I understand, to come off the way that it does. But it does stop someone in their tracks if all of a sudden they ask you, like, oh, so you're going to have kids sometime soon? Or, oh, like, why haven't you guys had kids yet? And, well, you know, I can't right now. And thanks for asking. Or, well, it's really none of your business. Or, yeah, we'll get there someday. There's so many ways to navigate that. It doesn't make it easier, but I think ultimately, in a way, if we can kind of, I love the idea of just pushing back on those kind of comments and just really being a little bit blunt about it, because then maybe people will be more aware that you don't just ask about those things. So yeah,
I agree.
It's a funny thing to navigate.
Especially, you know, us, like, we're used to asking people questions to get to know them and stuff like that. So I definitely changed from two different elements of when I'm around people. And there's people that have kids, but I'm still not asking you. If you want to tell me about, you know, little Chelsea and Caitlin, then I will inquire and say, oh, well, you know, what do you have going on with them? Or what's the family doing this weekend? But I'm never like, it's never a check box. That's why I always call it. You never have to check the box in order to be human and to have a relationship with another human. Like, all of these things we kind of have to put away. And if you feel open, like, I always want to create the space for women to feel really open with me in their journey to discuss, hands down. But you're not gonna know that if I'm like at get together having, you know, a cocktail beverage and that is not the topic, you know. So I was wondering if you two get that with also just like me and my husband being together for a while. Sometimes there's a lot of pressure to have the kid, or people just start asking, kind of prying.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely, so we've been married for 4 years, but we've been together for 13. So it's been a really long time. And I think because I'm so outwardly public about my story, especially now with the podcast and starting to really put it out there more, people are less likely to ask me, but it 100% still happens. Or the people that don't really know me, it definitely happens. So, or what I get more so is people will be, you know, if I'm saying something about the podcast or quote unquote advertising it, whatever, people will be like, oh, I didn't know you were pregnant, or, oh, I didn't know you were a mom. And I'm like, well, I'm not. And that's the whole point, because people get really confused. They're like, why do you have a podcast about moms and motherhood when you're not one? And I'm like, well, I'm changing it up. I'm doing something that we're not really quote unquote supposed to do, or what's typical. And I'm learning about motherhood before I am one. So, and then they're like, oh, that's cool. But that's always the assumption. You can't do anything around it if you're not one.
Yes. And that's what I also love and wanted to really show others. Like, there's so many kind of different directions you can go in when it comes to motherhood, whether it's pre-planning, I feel like you really, I like how you say it, like, it's going to come, like, you're not on an infertility journey. And I think even in that mindset, which I just want to like give you so much love, because that's so good of a mindset and such a strong mindset to have too, because it's going to happen. I'm all about putting it to an existence, say it now, believe it now, you know, and just the energy that you get from all of it really sets you on the path that you want to be on. And not a lot of people realize that. So I'm glad that you've leaned into it. Now, with that being said, your podcast, because I was going to ask if people actually could push back about not having kids being, you know, a mama podcast per se, but you literally put it everywhere. Like, hey, like, literally mama in training over here. But if they miss that mark, obviously you're getting a little bit of pushback. But how has it been on the other side of people, your listeners, coming to and saying, hey, like, I am interested in being a mom just like myself? What, like, this is so eye-opening to, like, the information that you're bringing to other women.
Well, the short answer is it's been unbelievable and life-changing. And I want to thank you for what you've said, because, you know, it's interesting. As I mentioned in the beginning, when we started, I'm not on an infertility journey as of yet. And I I don't totally understand or know that feeling, and I can't speak to it. And so for me, when I kind of got myself in this position of like, well, you can't do one of the main things that you want to do with your life, which is become a mom at the moment. So instead of sort of sitting and sulking in that fact and just sort of covering up your feelings by doing all these other things, why don't you just learn everything that there is to learn and dive into it more than the average bear, which, you know, some people I want to acknowledge couldn't do. And that's 100% okay. You know, that's not for everybody. For me, I've always been obsessed and in love with children, and I've always had this weird obsession with birth stories. I love hearing about them. And that's sort of where it all came about. I was like, I love talking about this stuff. I could corner somebody for in a party and talk to you all night about what you went through on your journey. So that's really, for me, where I decided to put my energy and my focus when I discovered that this was going to be a longer path than I really wanted or planned it to be. But it's not for everybody. It's interesting because I like to often think of myself, you know, when you have people that have podcasts or Instagram handles, or they're any type of influencer in this day and age, they are often an expert, and everyone talks about like, how are you an expert? And I've struggled with this a lot because I'm not a mom. I'm not a, you know, OBG. I'm not a labor and delivery nurse. I'm nowhere near that, but I've interviewed upwards of 100 moms about their journey and about what they wish they had known. And most of them are experts in whatever they're doing now with regards to motherhood, whether that's formula feeding, breastfeeding, labor and delivery, whatever. And so I've found that I've kind of become somewhat of an expert just in the knowledge that I've gained. One of my best friends actually recently had a baby, and I was like asking her all these questions like, oh, well, did you do this? Are you going to do that? And she have the things she didn't even know, you know, but I like to think of myself more, less of an expert and more as like a connector. Because what I love more than anything is when people send me a DM or an email or reach out in any way is for me to say, I don't personally have experience with this. However, I can connect you to somebody who can either commiserate with where you're at and you can have a beautiful conversation and know that you're not alone. Or I can connect you with a professional who knows, or more than one, because I've interviewed more than one sleep trainer, more than one food, dietary nutritionist person, you know, so I can direct you to all of these people. And that's kind of what I love more than anything. It's, you know, it's kind of what I do in my normal life. Like, oh, I know someone who could help you with that, even if it's not about motherhood. So that's kind of what it's developed into. And it's just really fun.
I love that. It's also like fun and intriguing, and I sit there and just think about how many people have been on 100 people, 100 experts. Of course, it makes you an expert. People say you're never prepared, but I think this is the best way you can be. Honestly, what other options do you have? Getting the information, knowing what you're up against, and then knowing who, like you said, you're a connector, knowing who you can tap in and say, hey, I'm struggling with X, Y, and Z from getting pregnant. Or even before, like leading into it and then after. So honestly, I think you're definitely an expert because you have heard more than I have, hands down.
Thanks. And it's, I mean, I always say this, we study everything, but very rarely do we study motherhood or pregnancy or birth. And I think the biggest thing that I've taken away that I always like to communicate with people is what you gain from just listening to a podcast about it, not, you know, having to dive in, but just sort of like letting information seep into your brain. It files and saves somewhere back there. And you just gain more confidence, I think, for when that day comes to do what everybody says is the most important thing, which is advocating for yourself. And as women and as mothers and going through pregnancy and birth and motherhood and those early days and postpartum, we need to advocate for ourselves, and we need to know what options we have, and we need to know what's available to us. And if we don't know, then that's what I think makes those hard times so much harder, and it makes you feel like you can be so alone and in a bubble, you know? So that's what I'm doing and aiming to do for others, because of course we're not going to be ready when the time comes. There's no way to prepare for that. But if we can at least know what we have control over, or what we should be, you know, confident to speak up about, then that gives us a little bit of empowerment as a female.
Oh, that was so good. That was such a beautiful share. Hands down, that was such a beautiful share. I know that I had a lot of fear into being a mother because mine passed when I was young, and I didn't have, like, I still don't have anyone that I can really go to. So meeting you, and there's three others I'll be having on as well. And it was just so, like, eye-opening how many women have stepped into that role of really sharing the information. Because not even, I have to tell you, my husband did not know, and I don't know how much your husband knew when it came to having a baby. I was like, it's not roses and daisies all the time. This is a human being, and it doesn't just fill your cup. You also have to fill their cup. Like, you are constantly giving, and that's not including all the fearful things that come with it, or all the medical things, and just the list of things we're not taught, right? When it comes to motherhood, and it's like, us as women really have to take that on to ourselves and figure it out. And I see women do it all the time. And
yeah. And one of my, like, I'm trying to be as niche, as they say to do, as I can, but at the same time, I'm trying to cover a little bit of everything. Like, in just hearing you speak, and I've heard that about your mom and listening to your podcast, and I'm so sorry to hear about that. But in hearing that, I think I would direct you to one of actually my best friend's episodes. Her name is Sarah. She's a phenomenal person. And I interviewed her when I first started the podcast. I think it's episode 11. Her title is Being a Motherless Mother, because now she's a mom of three, but she lost her mom when she was really young. And her journey into starting motherhood without her mother was really hard. And it brought up a whole slew of emotions. So, like, I would recommend you to listen to that, you know, or I try to cover everything, like formula and breastfeeding and pumping. And the tool that I got out of the formula episode was, like, women who even plan to breastfeed, pick out a formula, bring that formula to the hospital so that, God forbid, something happens. Then in the midst of your postpartum journey, you're not then trying to pick out a formula that works. Instead, you can just say, this is the one I've already picked out. So this isn't working. I'm too stressed. Let's go to this. It doesn't mean that you have to or plan on formula feeding. It just means that that tiny little step that didn't take, maybe it took one day during your pregnancy, now you're set and prepared, and it can prevent a lot of other stressors in the end. So that's my point, is like, it's just gaining information so that you can prepare yourself as best as you can. And know, like, for yourself, know that there are other moms who are having a really hard time becoming a mom without a mom, you know, and to be able to speak out about that is important.
Oh, yes. And I truly wish that I had the community. Oh, when I was going through my losses, hands down, lived and many in a lot people of shame.
Do. Yeah.
Now, where can they go to find your Facebook group? And then how do they get signed up to maybe be a part of your once a month meeting?
Yeah, absolutely. The easiest way right now, you can look up on Facebook for our Facebook group. It's just called Mamas in Training. Mamas is with an A, M-A-M-A-S. So you can just look that up on Facebook, but it is a private group. So if you ever have trouble, just send me a DM, send me an email, info@mamasintraining.com, and just mention the Facebook group and I'll get you the link. And the same with the membership. It's a premium membership. And technically at this point, I don't know when this episode will come out, but at the moment it's not officially public. It'll be coming out public within the next few months. It's in kind of a beta process right now, but I'd love to have people join. And if you want to kind of be in the midst of helping me create it and create what we all want it and need it to be, I'd love to have you do that. And you can also get a month just for free to test it out and see if it's for you. So you can just do the same thing. Just send me a DM at the Mamas in Training Pod. It's Mamas in Training POD on Instagram. Or once again, shoot me an email, info@mamasintraining.com. And I'll just get you the link to that.
See, actually putting community into action, which is amazing. I'm glad that you're bringing people together. And I think that there is something about meeting up, getting to really know one another, especially you see facial expressions, body language, all of those things. So I just want to say, first of all, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story. It felt so good to see you and like connect again, because yeah. I know we've had our summer, but what is next for you?
Well, thank you. First of all, thank you so much. It was a pleasure being on, and I love listening to Crystal Ball and everything that you have. What's next for me is it's truly, I think, officially starting my journey and taking this next step, which I think is going to be the biggest step for me, and getting off these last two medications. So hopefully I'll be able to get back on my insurance sometimes very soon. And when that happens, I'll be able to speak with my rheumatologist and say, okay, I'm on my very last pill of the last two medications. And it's going to be that process of just getting off of the medication. And I'm really planning on setting myself up. I'm going to try to do some acupuncture, some chiropractic, get a therapist for myself, have the community that I have, and just make sure that I'm managing my stress and managing my mindset so that I don't have any reaction negatively, and then can start my journey. And the beautiful thing is, selfishly, I'm creating this podcast and this community so that I can share my story and my journey too. So I'll be sharing more of that as it goes. And yeah, that's kind of the next big step, I guess.
That's a huge step. It's really good. And I love that you're already like coming up with the team that's going to take you through this, from getting the therapist, which I think is crucial. And there's so many different coaches that can work with therapists, doctors, you name it, that will help you. But I love that you're already like, you got your team.
In your head. I think you're, it's important.
Hands down. Yeah. So with that being said, you're sharing your story. Where can we find you?
Yes. Well, as I mentioned earlier, you can find on Instagram, Mamas in Training Pod, P-O-D. So at Mamas in Training Pod. And then also on Facebook, Mamas in Training is the group. And basically all of the info you can just find if you go to mamasintraining.com. Super easy. And if you want to find more info about me and my life as an actor and more of my personal stuff, I'm on Instagram at Jessica Lorion. And that's L-O-R-I-O-N. Like DeLorean from, what's that movie?
Back to the Future.
Back to the Future. Yeah. That's what I always say. Like DeLorean, like DeLorean from Back to the Future.
Ooh, okay. I like that. And honestly, beautiful. I was checking out everything on your website. So everyone listening, thanks. Go to our website, check it out, because let's be real, you have done so many great things. And this podcast just shows you're going to do so many more good things too. Thanks, and I can't so wait much, to Jessica. Watch your journey, to be honest, and really get feedback of, maybe we'll do like an updated episode next
That'd
year.
That'd be so fun.
Where you're at and, what's changed and what tips you can give us, and, a little podcast update too.
I would love that.
Yes. So
yeah, that would be so fun.
Well, thanks again. And everyone, please go over, like her page, subscribe, you know what to do, and then head over to Crystal Ball Clarity of It All or to my Instagram. Like, subscribe, push the buttons, and do the things. And I will see you next Monday with a brand new guest and a brand new episode. Goodbye.